Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. John 5, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. There are three major points made in this passage, two explicitly stated and one implied. Number one, all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. Friend, does not this underscore the deity of Jesus Christ? And secondly, to fail to honor the Son is to fail to honor the Father. This underscores the uniqueness of Christ in that he and he alone is the avenue of access to the Father. Those who would profess to honor the Father apart from honoring the Son cannot do so. They cannot do what they profess to do. And the third, to honor the Son is to honor the Father also. Therefore, we need to learn how to honor the Son. It is not left to man to determine the way to honor him, but it is left to man to follow the way that Scripture teaches us to honor him. John 4:24, Colossians 3 and verse 17, they show us that what we do, it must be done by divine authority. It must be done according to the truth of God. This would include the avenues of worship, of singing and praying and teaching and the Lord's Supper and the giving of our means. But it also includes all other ways of honoring which are not items of worship. We honor Christ, friend, by confessing him as the Son of God. God acknowledged Jesus as his Son in Matthew 3 and verse 17 at his baptism, and also at the event of the transfiguration on an unnamed mount, Matthew 17 verse 5. Christ was acknowledged as God's Son, and Christ on another occasion was acknowledged by the high priest in Matthew chapter 14. He was acknowledged as a king in John chapter 18 when he stood before Pilate. Peter confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God in Matthew 16. John confessed and wrote a book to support the claim of Jesus being the Son of God in John chapter 20. The sonship of Christ was the burden of the confession made by the Ethiopian just prior to his baptism. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he said. Martha made the same confession when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, just before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. Friend, to fail to confess Christ is not only to dishonor him, but also to make it impossible for Christ to confess us before the Father, Luke 12, 8 and 9. Why should anyone resist confessing this truth in view of the abundance of evidence to prove that it is true? Plus the teaching that not only all should, but all will eventually confess Christ anyway. Philippians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 14. 1 John chapter 2 verse 23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And we honor Christ when we are baptized into him. Baptism is important for a number of reasons. Christ submitted to it, Matthew 3, 14 and 15. But what is important to us is that Jesus made it a condition of salvation, Mark 16 and 16. Men may do all that they may to dismiss the importance of being baptized, but who really thinks that he has the right to dismiss a condition of salvation that is plainly taught and stated by the Lord himself? You see, friend, baptism is a picture of the primary facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul told the brethren in Galatia that they were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Does anyone who takes the Bible seriously really believe that he can be saved out of Christ and apart from him? Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And that being true, what of those who are not in Christ? Just how does one propose to get into Christ other than the way that the Word of God teaches? Romans 6, 3 and 4, Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, we are baptized into Christ. Yes, we honor Christ when we obey him in baptism. We honor Christ when we assemble with our brethren to eat the Lord's Supper. In Luke 22:19-20, "And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." After the Lord's church was established on the first Pentecost following his ascension, the church continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread, among other things, Acts 2:42. The church in Troas continued this observance, Acts 20:7, and they observed it on the first day of the week. The church in Corinth was taught regarding the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Friend, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of Christ, who he is, what he did, and what he shall do. By partaking of it worthily, with understanding and appreciation, we show honor to Christ. Brethren must learn that the neglect of the Lord's Supper is to neglect the divinely given duty and privilege of honoring Christ the Son. This is, like all other items of worship, a way of honoring the Son. And we honor Christ by wearing his name. Now, we ought not wear other religious names that are not authorized by his word. The church belongs to Christ, since he purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20:28. He is the head of it, and the Savior and the Redeemer of it, Ephesians 1:5. The church is his body, and we're members of his body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Why should it be thought strange that his disciples wear his name? The church of the New Testament revelation was composed of the saved, Acts 2:47, and they were called Christians, Acts 11:26. James said the name his brethren wore was a worthy name, James 2:7. And since our relationship to Christ is presented as the relationship of the bride to her husband, we wear the name of the husband who is Christ. That we wear his name was prophesied many centuries before Jesus even came to the earth, Isaiah 62. And the name, rather than having been given by enemies of Christ out of derision, is the name that God designated that we wear. Seeing who Christ is and seeing what he has done, noting our relationship to him, how inappropriate as well as anti-scriptural for those who profess to belong to him wear other religious names than his name. And we honor Christ when we pattern our lives according to his will and after his example. Imitation, you know, is a high form of showing respect. And Christ is our example, 1 Peter 2:21. He came to do the Father's will, John 4:34. He came to attend to the Father's business, Luke 2:49. If we be his followers, should not we do likewise? Christ came to serve, Matthew 20:26, and so should we serve. Christ was obedient, Hebrews 5. So we should be obedient. Christ was humble, Philippians 2. So should we be humble. Christ was prayerful and forgiving. He was respectful of the Father's word. And on we can mention those qualities for perfection that characterize the Lord Jesus, qualities that we should imitate. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." 1 John 1:7 teaches that when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we show our love, our respect, our reverence, our honor for him. And that being so, what do we show when we do not live after his pattern? Dear listener, we honor Christ by coming to him in exactly the same way that he has appointed. His mission to this earth was to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. He came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10. He has revealed through the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the inspired apostles how one comes to him in order to be saved from sin. It is not that which is too often heard in the preaching of men, the denominations, the way that we ought to be saved. Denominations, the doctrines of men, often are paramount in their message. Denominations will teach doctrines such as salvation by faith only. The Bible never teaches that. Or grace only. The Bible never teaches that. Or just receive Jesus. The Bible never teaches that. Just let Him be your personal Savior. The Bible never teaches that. Just raise your hand, sign a card, pray through, place your hand on the television or the radio, come to the mourner's bench, expect a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, just claim your gift, just ask Him and thank Him. The Bible never teaches any such thing as that. There's not a living human being on the face of the earth can show that that is the way that the Lord has taught people to come to Him. Such as that is simply not taught in the Word of God. Those are the false doctrines of men. The plain and simple truth as to how the lost come to Christ is the message that should ring from pulpits and classes and in our personal conversations. And what is that way? One must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is the reason that there must be the preaching of the Word. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," Matthew 16:15. Those who hear it must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to Him, Hebrews 11:6. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins," John 8 and verse 24. Oh, there are scores of passages that teach the essentiality of the conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But, as Jesus and His apostles taught, one must also repent of his sins. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13 and verse 3. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," Acts 2 and verse 38. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Over and over we read of the passages of the necessity of repentance. And having heard the Word, and believed in Christ as the Son of God, and repented, one must make the confession of his faith in Christ. Christ promised, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven," Luke 12:8-9. The necessity of confessing Christ with the mouth is taught in Romans 10:9-10. And we're not taught in the Bible to confess that we're already forgiven at the point of faith. That's false teachers that come from denominations telling you that. We're not taught to simply confess our sins, which confession is implied, of course, by our coming to Christ. But that which is to be confessed is the truth concerning the identity of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, friend, we must also be baptized for the remission of sins, by His authority, in His name, as was done in every example of conversion revealed to us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and 8 and 9 and 16 and 18 and 22 and 26, without exception. And this, of course, is in harmony with what Paul and Peter taught. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, we're baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism doth now also save us. None in his right mind could contend we honor Christ as we ought when we refuse to be saved as he offers. We cannot reject his teaching, friend, reject his will, and still honor the one who gave it. To refuse to obey is simply to say, if not verbally, but by actions, "Lord Jesus, your coming, your life, your death, your suffering, your existence, your sacrifice, your example is all for nothing. It is of no value to me." Now, we may not intend to convey such a rejection of Christ. We may not dare say such a thing. But is it not true that we cannot honor him apart from obedience to him? Can we truthfully say that we are honoring the Son when our actions proclaim that, as far as we are concerned, he just wasted his time? He'd just soon never come. We do honor him when we follow where he leads, and he leads us toward heaven. And what a wonderful invitation. Come unto me, Jesus said, Matthew 11 and verse 28. And those who do, they honor the Son, even then as they honor the Father which sent him, and he will eventually go to be and live with God in heaven forever and forever. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.